Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Let's Get Lost, a Let's Get Critical podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Jay. I'm Jesse.
And I'm A. I'm Andreas.
And we are here today to start discussing season four.
Yep.
I am very excited to be to this point of the show. So today's episode is season four, episode one, The Beginning of the End.
Yep, yeah, as infamously as Ben says.
Truly. So thank you all for being here and for returning to hang out with us. Hopefully you enjoyed the season three finale through the Looking Glass and also our season three recap episode. We had a lot of fun recording both of those. So thank you for checking those out and for being the loyal listeners that you all are.
Yes.
We do have some other listener questions to get to today on the show, so I'm very excited, as usual, to get to those. One of the things I wanted to start by saying in the housekeeping section that I think really warrants a full-blown announcement, Andreas, is that we had a listener conduct the experiment of the Sharpie and the water.
Oh, no way.
They sent in a video.
They straight up did it? Oh.
And they have video evidence. They sent video evidence of this. They filled a giant bucket of water. They tested it with two different Sharpies. One was black, one was green. One was like a finer point, like not fine point, but it was like a normal Sharpie. And then the other one was like one of the thicker ones.
Yeah.
They tested both. In the water and just on a very wet hand.
Yeah.
And it did not work.
No, it didn't work.
No.
Well, thank you, listener.
I know. I was like, that is dedication. I'll have to send you the videos to take a look
at. Yes, I can't wait to watch it.
They are fantastic.
That's hilarious. Maybe we should ask him. Maybe we can post it.
If they would be down to.
They'd be down for us to post it. But you know, hey, this is, you know, and we're one group of experimenters. You know, other people are gonna need to go validate this, replicate these findings.
That's true.
I'm pretty convinced that it doesn't work.
it seemed their methodology was pretty strong. I don't have any critiques of their methodology to offer.
Can someone ask Dominique Monaghan? Like, they can be like, hey, so while you did you write on your hand?
What?
And
how did
film
this
the
go?
Scene?
Yeah.
Yeah, like what happened there? Did you guys figure out that you can't write with a Sharpie? Like that is, I think, you know, next time somebody gets him in a podcast or something, please.
Well, he has a podcast. Question. Maybe we should write in.
Oh, maybe we should write it. That'd be funny. I didn't know he has had a podcast.
Well, he has a Lord of the Rings podcast. I guess I don't know if they're still making episodes, but he had one that he was recording with other stars of Lord of the Rings.
Oh, that's awesome.
But I can't imagine that he wouldn't take questions about Lost. He's got to get a crossover there of fans. So
and of actors. Anyways, I
don't. Correct. So anyways, I thought that was worth an announcement related to the season 3 finale. But other than that, we are just very thankful for all of your participation. Please keep it coming. As far as our schedule for the next few weeks, there might be a few weird things. We expect that you'll be getting this episode on February 4th and then episode 2 of season 4 on February 7th. And then the following week, we're not 100% sure yet. So you'll have to stay tuned. I'll do my best to kind of post some updates on Instagram about the schedule related to that. But mid-February is a little bit weird for Andreas and I. So bear with us as we try to navigate a couple of scheduling conflicts.
We both have some pretty good plans coming up, so that's unfortunate for you listeners, but it's very fortunate for Jesse and I. So
that's true. We have fun things coming up. Very fun things.
These are good things. So it'll be good. So sorry we have to start kind of season four a little rough, but I think, you know, we're working on it. I think we have a good game plan for how
we're going to do our best to make it as smooth as possible for you all. So. But other than that, it's all of the normal stuff. Follow us on Instagram. Send us your questions via direct message. If you post in the comments, keep it spoiler free. And as always, we appreciate ratings, reviews, downloads, subscriptions, follows, all of that stuff that helps us get our name out there and grow our listener base. So thank you for those of you who have done that. And if you haven't yet, please consider it. Excuse me. Oof. I am fighting off a little bit of a cold, so you'll all have to bear with me on that as well. Do you have any other housekeeping, Andreas?
No. And just thank you all. Appreciate your time and your love. And I am very excited to be here at the start of season four.
Me too. So without further ado, let's get into season four. So episode one, the beginning of the end. This episode is, of course, the fourth season premiere, and it aired on January 31st, 2008. Wow, that's crazy. When we're recording, it's
almost
to the day.
Yeah, literally almost to the day. That's wild. 16 years ago.
16 years ago.
That makes me feel wild. I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Anyway. Uh-huh. it's wild. So this episode involves, as far as plot, viewership. It was viewed by
we never know. We gotta find it. Jesse does her best to try to find the answer.
It was watched by approximately 16.137 million American viewers live, or within six hours, with a 6.7 out of. I don't even know what that makes sense.
What the 6 point? Don't worry about the. Okay. Is that the? Like, what do they call them? The rating.
This is interesting. So the episode was watched. This says that the episode was watched by. There's a couple of different numbers here. This is strange, but the episode was watched by a total of 17.766 million viewers live or recorded and watched within 7 days of broadcast. So it must be around the time when that started to become a thing.
Well, I would attest as someone who did that.
Okay. So, all right. So there you have it. And in terms of the plot points.
DVR, really a thing that was like a thing for a second.
It was, yeah.
Nah, it's not really a thing anymore. I mean, it's kind of built. It's like YouTube TV, so you can record stuff or whatever. Yep.
And it's built. It's basically just like. It's been addressed by like Hulu, right? Like,
yeah,
they
just store it for you. why make you have it on a hard drive in your house? They can have it
exactly.
On
the exactly. So, anyways, as far as plot points go, we get some flash forwards, so to speak, from Hurley. So Hurley is confirmed to get off the island at some point based on the flash forwards.
An Oceanic Six, he says.
The Oceanic Six. So we're going to break that down in just a minute. And then on the island, we have a split between Jack and Locke. The camp is divided in terms of, do we go with Jack and risk making contact with these people who are supposedly not Penny's boat, or do we stay with Locke? So those were the main plot points, and then of course the very end, big cliffhanger at the very end, they make contact with somebody, some guy is there,
some guy
asks, are you Jack?
Yeah.
So Andreas, the beginning of the end, as IGN always does, they rank the episodes, and they've ranked 113 episodes of Lost. Where do you suspect that they ranked this episode?
I'm going to go in the 30s.
Nailed it.
Nailed it? Yeah.
Nailed it.
Starting this season four off right, folks.
Well done. This is number 31 on their list of episodes. Unfortunately for our unspoiled listeners, I'm not going to read the information. I think I will come back to it when we get to the spoiled section, though. There's some interesting things in here for us to talk about, but I can't read it in this section, at least not in a way that would make it an enjoyable discussion. So
Yeah.
For that reason, I think it's time for us to talk about what we thought about the episode. What, how did you feel about it?
I thought it was pretty good. I was so along for the ride. I love that they came back and they're like, it's a season opener. I think it's always been Jack. but I think for the first time now, it's somebody different and it's Hurley. I appreciated that. And I think the flash forwards are really interesting. What does that mean? You know, clearly we're building towards something. Yeah, I thought from all that, it was pretty interesting. So I don't know. What about you, Jesse?
I really enjoyed it. I was very invested in what was going on. I really love, we kind of talked about this in the season three finale episode, but it's a nice shift to have the flash forwards. Like, it just gives us something a little different to chew on. And it's really just kind of reinvigorated, I think, a sense of excitement in the show. Not that season three didn't have a sense of excitement, because it did, but it was just a lot more of on island excitement, right? It was like very, I think we had a listener actually write in that they find it a little weird in reflecting on season three that there wasn't more of a focus amongst the survivors of, as far as getting off the island. Like, that was kind of a lost point in season three. I didn't even mean to do that. But, you know, it just kind of, that just kind of disappeared and wasn't really something they were focused on. They had other things that were kind of drawing their attention, and we could probably get into whether or not that makes sense. But the point is, I think this like reinvigorates this new concept of like, oh my gosh, yeah, they're on this island and maybe they want to leave. Like, it like reminds you of the fact that even in all the mystery that's been going on in season three, as a viewer, you kind of like forget, because you're so invested in what's happening on the island. It's like you almost forget for a minute about getting off the island.
Yeah, definitely.
So this kind of reinvigorates a sense of excitement about that, I think, and just seeing, you know, the differences just from like Jack in the previous episode in the season three finale, and then where he's at now, in this flash forward of Hurley's. It's very interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, I think he's pretty. I don't like Jack in this episode. I think we were really, you know, most of season three, I felt like Jack and I were vibing. Like, I was like, I get what you're doing. I get your train of logic here. And then this time it's just like the stuff with Kate, it's just like, what? Why would you not? What?
Like, I just, well, let's start going. Well, it feels like it's time to, we're starting to get into it now. Yeah. So what do you want to do first? You want to do on island or you want to do the flash forwards?
Let's do the on island stuff. I think I always say the
okay
thing, so we'll make
on island. So on the island, we have Hurley finding out about Charlie's death, which is obviously very heartbreaking.
Oh, that's really sad.
I really enjoyed the scene where Sawyer was trying with Hurley. I thought that was like a really good moment for Sawyer, where he says like, you guys were buddies. Like, I just thought maybe you want to talk about it. I was like, oh, Sawyer, like, this is different.
Yeah.
And just like another step in the right direction for his character, I thought.
I really thought so too. Or again, like, people really went out of their way to kind of give him authority, and it's just a nice juxtaposition to how other people have used it. And also what we'll get from Jack, kind of in the flash forward, and how he treats Hurley.
Yes.
It's just it's a very different dynamic, and I think we're kind of trying to draw that purposefully.
Absolutely. So there's that, and then Hurley ends up getting lost from the group, and he's out in the woods, and he finds the cabin.
He does, yeah, he does. He sees it. It moves. You know, and he tries to make it go away, and it does, and then he runs into Locke.
And then, yes, Locke finds him out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, Locke finds him, and they have a discussion. And then they reunite with everybody else, with the larger group. And Jack is pissed at Locke.
Pissed. Yeah. I mean, he pulls the trigger, which is, you know, irreparable harm to your relationship.
He pulls the trigger.
How he acted in that moment was super not cool. But anyway.
So we did get a listener write in about this and just like how devastated they were by that. Because we have a listener who's very, very, has been very vocal about really liking Jack's character. Yeah. Our listener wrote in and said, "This may surprise you, but I would have chosen Locke after Hurley's speech. I have to say, I've been the ultimate Jack apologist, but even I can't apologize for his behavior when trying to kill Locke. I'm devastated that he pulled the trigger. I never thought Jack would cross that line. But that's also what makes the show so great, the subversion of expectations."
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would definitely agree with that. Yeah, I didn't see that coming either. Like, it's actually really an important point, though, in the show, because I think it shows Jack and Locke's issues finally being beyond Jack's ability to cope with them anymore.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, you always think about, I think a lot of times you think about the little things that have happened between Jack and Locke over the course of the season, but I specifically remember saying in season 3 when Locke blows up the submarine, I was like, oh, I get why Jack like hates him now. Like this, I always forget that there's like a thing that, and then he stabs Naomi. Like he's done some things that like, and I'm not saying that that excuses Jack becoming that level of violent. Like I am not saying that murdering Locke was the thing to do, but I think it's an important point of development in Jack's character and his character trajectory to suggest to us that he is kind of unraveling already at this point. Like he's still in charge of the group to a certain extent, but he's unraveling. Like his emotions have gone out of control at this point because he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah. 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 I definitely, it's really one of those things where it's like all of a sudden it's out of his control. And so he's just like doing whatever he can to exert control. Even though, again, also I think it's true to say like, Locke's actions aren't exactly that great either. Throwing a knife at someone because that's a pretty big move that I also don't agree with. But certainly this idea of like having an anxiety about what's going to happen, like this was what my wife, this is her for listeners, right? It is her first watch through. She's watching it with me as we're recording it for the podcast. I was watching it for the podcast. And she just kept saying like, well, yeah, like, why would you trust these people that are showing up here? Like, why would you do that? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Over and over again, things have happened where it seems like it's going to go one way and then it's something totally different. And so it's like the fact that like Jack, again, like his kind of like clear denial of what Kate's telling him, even though we know that, you know, Kate of all trades, you know, she's, you know, a master tracker. So yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't listen to her. Or again, like having that like level of like kind of critical assessment. I mean, yeah. But having that level
that was a great call out.
Yeah. But having that level of critical assessment to be like, hey, like I don't have enough data on this to trust it on its face. And also, like what Hurley said about Charlie, I think is the most true thing, right? Charlie also said something, of note, and no one's taking that information into account. Everyone's just kind of, even like Locke, like he's using it like to better his side, and then Jack's just totally ignoring it. So it's like, what, So yeah, so I definitely get the listener's kind of comment of like, oh, I would definitely go with Locke. I definitely would agree with that. And Jack's, as you said, it's like it's like he doesn't know what to do. And to me, it's like the like control thing again. He doesn't have control of the situation anymore. And he's trying to figure out how to retain it, even though he didn't have it to begin with. In fact, the fact that you were successful was because you gave up control, Jack. I feel like you should just think about the previous set of decisions that you made and how well those worked out for you.
This is really interesting because we got a question from a listener that says, would you have chosen to go with Jack or Locke? And I think we have to operate, you know, obviously Andreas and I have seen the whole show. And so that could cloud But let's just say that we're in the position that these people are in at this point in time. All we know is what they know, right? And so you just answered, and our listener answered, that they, that you believe you would have gone with Locke. And what's interesting about that is that the listener who wrote in that he believed we would be surprised by that is a Jack, usually is someone who sides with Jack. And I think I'm usually more in the middle with Jack and Locke. I think I usually kind of see both of their perspectives, but I've clearly defended Locke on the show before. And the interesting thing about it is that I think I would go with Jack, which is interesting because, like, I understand what you're saying. And when I stop and think about the Charlie aspect of this, that would be the hardest part. The hardest part would be to go with Jack, knowing that Charlie died to deliver that message, that these people are not who they say they are. I think the thing that I get hung up on, if I'm in that position, if I'm on the island and I'm standing there in that, I wrote down what a crazy intense situation to have to pick sides, right? Like, these are like two people these people know pretty well at this point. They've all been on the island together. They have very different leadership styles. There's always been a level of tension between these two. Like, what a crazy situation to have to pick a side.
Yeah.
I think that in that moment, I would be thinking to myself, even if they're not who they say they are, why does that necessarily mean that they're going to do something bad?
Yeah.
Like, Ben thinks that they're going to do something bad, right? And so, like, is it, and Locke thinks that they're going to do something bad. And so it's plausible that that's true, but it's also plausible that, like, they're going to do something bad that for Ben, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be something bad for me, like, if I just want to get off the island. So I think that's a good point.
I like the idea of, like, agreeing with Ben, right? That's a cognitive, like, dissonance. Like, that's actually Ben doesn't want to make contact with them either. Ben wants to stop them and doesn't want us to leave. So, you know, I would probably,
gets back to a point that I made in the season finale, that when we recorded that, was it gets back to the point of frustration that I have, that nobody is, like, asking Ben the serious questions about why do you not want these people to come, right? Like,
no,
you don't know what you're doing. He says, like, you don't know what you're doing, Jack. And I guess maybe what we're supposed to take from that is that these people are just, they're so far gone with Ben. Like, they don't even, they just see him as someone who runs his mouth, and they just don't care about his perception because they don't even know if what he says is true ever. Like, they don't trust him. So it's just like, why even go down that road? And I guess I can empathize with that of, like, who even knows if he'll give you the truth if you sit down and try to ask him questions about this. But I think I just would have to throw in with Jack at this point if the information that I had was specifically what they have in the moment that they're standing there making the decision between Locke and Jack. Like, I feel like I'm taking the risk to try to get off the island.
Yeah, I definitely. So, you know, I definitely understand what you're saying. It's one of those things where I definitely, in this circumstance, like, I wouldn't shame anyone for either decision that they made. In particular, I would actually maybe feel drawn to the thing that I think would set me off for not staying with Jack, for going with Locke, would be that I would have so much hesitation because, like, yeah, we don't know why they're coming here and we don't know what it is. So, like, we should have, like, a plan to deal with it. Like, we should, like, hide and, like, one person meet them and other people hide and, like, or something, right? Like, have some sort of contingency, have some sort of, and clearly Jack is not at a place mentally or emotionally to, like, sit through and think that out. And so I like what Sawyer says when he responds to Kay about why he chooses Locke. It's like, well, I'm surviving. I'm going with the group I think has the best odds of me not dying at the end of this. And I think that would be, that kind of line of thinking would end up being persuasive to me, because it's not because I wouldn't want to make contact. It's I don't trust the conditions under which that would occur.
So I would be really
wary of that. And I would almost like want that to play itself out. And then hopefully I can make do with whatever comes out of that.
That's not a bad call, because you're right that Jack is operating in such a weird way right now, where he's just deciding that he's just, like, believes them.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like, we're just going to, they're coming and they're going to rescue us. And then he's just like locked in. It's almost like he has like tunnel vision and he's seeing everything that he wants to see. And you can see that even not knowing how everything plays out. Like, if you're on the island with them, with this group of people, you can see that Jack is trying to manifest what he wants to happen. And whether that's what actually happens or not remains to be seen, but you can see that he's trying to manifest it.
Yeah, he's just trying to will it into existence. Yeah.
And that's not really the best way to operate. And you're right. I think that's clear enough, even just with the information that we have available, that's clear enough. And so, yeah, maybe the best move is go with Locke and then just kind of see if you can, I don't know, go back and forth to try to learn what's going on. I don't know. But like you said, feel like there could have been some middle ground here, maybe.
Yeah. Or like, right? Like, it's pretty obvious that if they were going to come and try to rescue you, if they didn't see you immediately on the beach, like, they're going to, like, look around. And what's going to catch their attention? A bunch of houses. That actually seems like a decent place to be if you want to get noticed. And so, yeah, what you said, like, a middle ground, like, it's not unreasonable to think, like, oh, we could be in different groups, like, or like we could just wait inland, like if we think that that's safer or something like. But yeah, there's just no, you can't even have a dialogue. And so I think that Sawyer honestly was the most persuasive to me. Sawyer and Hurley, because I was like, you're kind of
Hurley
bright.
Was definitely persuasive, and it was cool to see Hurley take a stand for something like that was cool. He just was like. And especially against Jack. That was a pretty big deal.
Yeah, that was a pretty big deal. And I think really set the tone for other people. And I also think that that's part of what sort of sets Jack. I mean, Jack's already over the edge at this point. But, I mean, that can't be good, I think, for Jack. and sort of his feeling of trying to control the situation.
Losing control,
or whatever, yeah, I really appreciate kind of more assertive Hurley. He's more assertive this whole episode. Sometimes in a bad way, he needed to be. I understand why he wasn't vulnerable in that moment with Sawyer, but, but again, I appreciated it overall that he was more vocal. He was like, hey, now I'm here. I'm doing what I need to do for myself. Good for you, Hurley.
I agree. So the last thing I think we should just mention is that, Claire finds out about Charlie's death in this episode, and that's obviously very sad for her. I really felt for her in that moment.
Yes. And for Hurley, it's also like, you know, you're out a best friend or out a girlfriend. It's been a tough ride for you.
Truly.
But it was nice that he told Claire. I appreciated that a lot.
I agree. And then, I mean, that's about all we can say, I think. I mean, we already mentioned that at the end of the episode, one of the people shows up and
shows up.
asks if are you Jack? And there
if
you go.
There, okay.
So I think that brings us then to the flashbacks.
Yeah.
So, you already called this out, but
words.
Flash forward. Sorry. You already called out that we get a mention pretty much right at the beginning of the Oceanic Six. Hurley says I'm one of the Oceanic Six. He's interrogated by Ana Lucia's partner.
Yeah. And he really is, asking him lots of questions. Which is tough.
And Hurley doesn't tell him that he knew Ana Lucia.
Nope. Or that she died on the island.
Yep. But Hurley is excited to go to the mental health hospital so that he can be safe, I think is what we're supposed to kind of take from that. Or at least that was my interpretation of it. And while he's there, he meets a man named Matthew Abaddon.
He's a lawyer.
He's a lawyer for Oceanic, but then weirdly asks, are they still alive?
Yeah.
Yep. Weird. Ominous.
Weird.
doesn't give Hurley a business card, says he left him at home.
Do lawyers have business cards?
Yeah, I would think. If you were a corporate lawyer for Oceanic Airlines, probably.
That's fair.
If you're like a prosecutor or a public defender, probably not. But well, you might still have business cards, but you're probably not like, you know, carrying those around everywhere.
Well, maybe you would need to hand them out to people in hospitals.
Maybe so. I don't know. But so we get that interaction. And then we find out that the reason that Hurley ran out of the store and was caught by the police in the first place was because he saw Charlie. And yes, he and Charlie have a full-blown conversation.
He gets smacked by Charlie.
Yep.
Charlie looks good. Charlie looks healthy.
He does. He looks alive and well.
He does. He does. But then he's gone.
And but he then he's gone.
That he needs to go back.
Yep. So we have that interaction. And then finally, we have the interaction between Jack and Hurley, in which Hurley apologizes to Jack for going with Locke, which is interesting.
That is interesting.
And begs the question of where this is all going. Jack says we're never going back when Hurley suggests that they should go back, which is obviously quite a big contrast to where we left off on the season three finale. Yeah. I like I like that they threw in the beard comment to try to set up the timeline for us. I thought that was kind of cheesy, but also probably pretty useful.
Yeah, it was good. It was useful information.
Yeah.
So I'll let the kind of corny line fly.
Yeah. But I don't.
But
know
again, I want to just call attention to the difference between how Jack and Sawyer handle Hurley in these situations. Sawyer legitimately goes to Hurley like out of like genuine like kinship, like genuine like, you know, like human, like right, like he's trying to like have a human moment with him of like, hey, like you just lost your best friend, what's going on, you know, he really wants to check in, as opposed to Jack, you know, he of course has an ulterior motive. Don't fully get what that is here, but
maybe
I don't know what else to say.
I don't think we can say anything else. I think that we need to move on to unspoiled segments unless you have anything else to add.
No, that's all I have to say.
Okay. So we are going to do our usual unspoiled segments, but then we have some new unspoiled segments for you. Andreas, I don't know if you were able to do the new ones or not.
I was able to do some of the new ones.
Okay. All right. So I'll start with the old. There's no wall count.
Start with the old.
There's no CPR. No. And then did you have a nickname?
I did not have a nickname.
I had one nickname. I thought it was pretty funny when Sawyer called Desmond Scotty. That is funny.
Yeah. That is. Yeah.
So there was that. And then for new unspoiled segments, we wanted to, since the wall count and CPR are really, really minimal these days, we wanted to add in some new unspoiled segments that we know we'll be able to have every single time. So if you have ideas for unspoiled segments, write them in. We're open to changing these around, but the ones that we came up with for now, we're gonna do our favorite line of the episode, and then we're gonna do our personal belief for the best fashion choice in the show and worst fashion choice for the episode. So let's start with best and worst fashion choice. Andreas, what did you have as the best fashion choice for this episode?
You know, one thing that I always appreciate is a good denim jacket, and let me tell you, Hugo Reyes pulls off one denim jacket. I liked him with the denim jacket and the bun. I thought that was a good look for him. So Hurley, keep that in mind.
I like that. I like your mind. I like where your mind went with that.
Again, that show, it just started and we saw him and I was like, honestly, I mean, I get it. You're running from the cops. That's a little stressful, but you look good, Hurley.
You look good doing it.
And I was like, yeah, I appreciate it. I feel like we get a sense of his like taste enough.
No.
And so it seemed nice to see a little bit, right, of like, oh, like if you put a little thought into it, this is what you go with. I like that. I like it.
I think that's a great choice. My best fashion moment or best fashion choice, I thought Charlie looked pretty nice in his aviators.
You know, he did have like mad like 80s rock glam energy. It was great.
He did. I don't feel like I normally watch and go like, oh, Charlie. But when Charlie showed up with his like nice clean cut hair, his aviators, like I was like, okay.
Yeah, you know, a little clean, you know, shave. It wasn't like totally gone, but you know, it was just a little more kept.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought he looked good too. I was like, oh, you look healthy, Charlie.
He did. I loved it.
Take that what you will, audience.
So on the flip side, what did you find to be the worst fashion choice of the episode?
The worst fashion choice of the episode. Okay, so Jesse, this is where we have to discuss how we're doing this because I thought it was an either or situation.
Oh, okay.
I didn't pick a worst, which is why I said some.
I like your idea. I like going with just one. You either go with whatever stands out, the worst or the best.
Yeah, one fashion thing that stands out to you.
Love that idea. Okay, so you went with a best in this episode.
Yeah.
The denim jacket. Yep. I will go with what I found to be the worst then. So I said the aviators, but just for the sake of fun and discussion, I will say that I did list a worst fashion choice. And I actually went with something that in and of itself, I thought the outfit was fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But it actually goes back to the point that you were making about Jack. Jack's suit when he's talking to Hurley. Oh. That was a bad look. Showed up. Well, I'm not even talking about like, I'm not talking more about like for the occasion. Like, Jack, if I get that you're coming back from a consult supposedly or whatever, but throw a pair of like jeans and a t-shirt to stop and visit Hurley at the mental hospital. Like, don't go in wearing this suit. Like, look how good I'm doing. Like, it's just not a good, it fit along with what you were saying where it was like, what are you doing here, Jack? What are you doing
here? Exactly. What are you doing here? Because it's not to hang out and play horse.
Hurley's
great at horse and Jack is not. Oh, I mean, yeah, Jack's condescending. But Jack does strike me as the kind of guy that he shows up to lots of events in suits because I'm coming back from work. And it's like, it's probably because he doesn't have any sense of how to dress. He gets better, actually, as he gets into his depression. His kind of hobo look, that's a vibe. Now we're talking.
I'm coughing and trying to laugh at the same time, and it's not working. It's not working. Oh my God, I love it. All right.
But anyways, I digress.
Favorite line. What was your favorite line?
My favorite line, which I'm going to cheat, it's a set of lines, but I really love the conversation between Hurley and Bernard on the beach when he's like, did I tell you that I won the lottery? And he's like, huh? And he's like, yeah, $150 million. Then he's like, it's all going to be gone because they think I'm dead. I'm finally going to be free. Loved it.
That was a good exchange. My favorite line, it isn't so much the words of the line, it was the delivery of the line. Shockingly, it came from Ben Linus, but I did laugh out loud when he said, Jack, with your permission, I'd like to go with John. It's like, you just want to slap him. You're like, you are such a smartass. Like, he just never stops.
Yeah,
he never
fucking
quits.
Asshole. God. No, I wanted to punch him in the face in that moment, but it was a good line.
it was hilarious. Like, it was very funny. So I had to go with that one. All right. Well, that is it for unspoiled content. So if you would like to remain unspoiled, it is time for you to get lost.
Get lost in. We're spoiling the rest of the show.
Big time spoilies.
At this point. Yep.
Big time spoilies. All right, here we go. Let's get into it. Let's start with the IGN summary, because I wanted to share this with you and get your thoughts and also get the conversation rolling on this. So they write, although there was still a lot of story left to tell, the season four premiere did start putting the pieces in place for the ultimate resolution of the series. And there's plenty of foreshadowing here if you're looking for it. The opportunity to leave the island with the freighter folk split the remaining survivors into two camps, those who followed Jack and those who sided with Locke. We also got the first flash forward that we knew was a flash forward, and the gaps in the Oceanic 6 timeline started filling in. But this was Hurley's show, both on the island and off. At the mental hospital, Charlie's ghost told him that the people on the island need him. Meanwhile, he came across Jacob's cabin in the woods. These could be coincidences, not clues, but we prefer to think Hurley's fate was sealed, even this early on.
Oh, definitely. I think that that is an absolute... It's too much, especially what we... because we watched the episodes in two, so we're going to talk about the next episode after we record this. So, and it's fresh on my mind. In that episode, they continue some of these narratives. There's no way it's an accident, I think. And I think it's a great move. Again, that's also... I kind of wanted to be cheeky and say something about, I love that it was about Hurley. And so, but again, I think it's really them priming us for that as an option. And his, right, kind of drawing a foot in the sand. He's not even agreeing with Locke, but he's doing that because, right, he's sticking up for what he thinks is right, and he's trusting in other people who were doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And he's, like, correctly able to identify that and make a decision based upon that. Like, all of that, I think, is absolutely purposeful. Like, we're supposed to see all of that. I think we're kind of supposed to see, like, this is why Jack, like, this is why Locke don't get to where they do and why Hurley does. I think, again, it's all here for us to kind of pick apart.
I totally agree. I totally agree. Well, without belaboring the point, then, I just agree with all of that. So I'll go to a listener question that we got. And I don't know if you'll have an answer. I'll just go ahead and ask it. Who did you think that the other three in the Oceanic Six would be? So at this point, I think we're supposed to believe that Jack, Kate, and Hurley are confirmed, right? Because we know that Jack and Kate are off the island. Who did you think that the other three would be?
Yeah, so there was lots of speculation about this back in the day. I'm so excited to get this part of the show because now I can finally talk about, like, what it was like to, theorize about shit and like have to wait for information to come. Like, that was crazy. And so there was lots of debate about who it was. I believe that my thoughts were it was going to be Saeed, Sawyer, and then I couldn't settle on a third person. I think I ultimately who did I think that third person was going to be? I thought it was going to be Juliet going to be the third. I think I kind of saw through that. Because I was kind of process of elimination six, and I was under the impression that Claire and Aaron had to be a package deal. So that, like, I think I just, like, that was my, like, heuristic. So that was my guess. I was like, I don't know. They're going to take somebody else with them. That's my guess. Sun and Jin, that doesn't seem like an option. And now we're down, right? We're down too many people. So I don't know who else we've got at that point. So that was my guess of the three, if I remember correctly.
So it is, though, the actual answer, if I remember correctly, is Jack, Kate, Hurley, Saeed, Sun.
Yeah.
And Aaron.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Am I missing something?
Unless they don't count Aaron. Maybe that's a thing. I don't remember.
I don't remember either. But no one else gets.
Oh, because maybe they... Yeah, I don't remember.
Because Jin doesn't get off. Sawyer doesn't. Juliet doesn't.
Nope.
I think it's those six.
Yeah.
Jack, Kate, Hurley,
Bernard, Saeed, and...
Son.
Rose Day.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's no one else to go with them. There's someone else to go with. But again, that was where I think I just thought of Claire and Aaron as like a package deal.
Yeah.
And same with Jin and Sun. That was like probably what threw me for. I was like, oh, I didn't think they'd break that up. That's gonna be a big moment later.
Yep.
On,
yep. I don't honestly remember. I mean, having watched the show in such a different way than you did, you know, I didn't have to wait. There wasn't necessarily time to theorize. We probably just watched the next episode and found out. You know what I mean? Like, not in this case, not the actual next episode, but I think my point is well taken. But
yeah,
the only thing I can remember thinking is that they were trying to make us think it was Sawyer in the previous episode when Kate says to Jack, like, he's going to be waiting for me. She's actually talking about Aaron, but I think that they were trying to bait us into thinking that that was Sawyer. So most likely Sawyer. I probably yes, thought absolutely. It was Sawyer.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I fell for the bait, which I probably would have. So.
Yeah.
Oh. So that was another question that we had. And then other than that, the other thing I wanted to hit on was, did you notice that in the cabin, in the rocking chair, it was Christian Shepherd?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
So.
I know. We're starting to do it.
Yeah.
Starting to do the stuff.
Yes. We're going to come back to that actually in the next episode too. We have a listener question for the next episode that I think is more relevant for that. The only thing
I recall too, a fun thing about the Oceanic Six was there was a lot of debate. Again, I'm just remembering. There was a lot of debate about whether or not Walt and his dad,
Michael,
if they counted, it was like, oh, did they get off? Whatever. That was like a big point of debate.
Question, yeah.
And Walt was on the island, right? Like, who knew, right? So that was just a fun tidbit, and people did not know. So,
that makes sense. So the only other thing I wanted to ask you was, why does Hurley apologize to Jack for going with Locke?
Because they shouldn't have left the island. And I think there's part of it too. What I can't remember how much is guilt, like solely about us leaving, or how much of it is like how they left. It's like it was only the six of them. They lied about it. And the way that ends up playing out is that it's like they could have maybe been a little bit more assertive about having the outcome be something different, but they just kind of do it because it's going to get them off or whatever. I can't totally remember how all that plays out.
I think they say that. They're going to hurt the people that, like, I think they make them stay quiet.
Yeah. That's what they say. About, yeah. Well, yeah. And then, like, yeah. So a lot of that I'm interested to see how it plays out because I can't totally remember, but that's my interpretation of that scene. There's nothing in my memory that sticks out about why he would mean it any other way.
Yeah. I don't know. That just threw me a little bit because it's like, I guess it has to be that he's sorry because of how it all turns out. Because being sorry for going with him under the conditions that he went with him,
I also think that he's trying to, it's a little bit of him trying to, he's trying to be nice to Jack to see what Jack will do, and Jack's an asshole, so Jack responds as like an asshole. Because he's like, I understand that hurt our relationship, me making that decision. And so I'm trying to apologize about that to you because clearly things didn't work out the way we wanted to. And Jack, I understand your impression's probably that that's one of the inflection points of that. I apologize or whatever. And Jack's like not even able to engage with that. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's also part of what you're kind of supposed to kind of read into. We maybe should have.
That makes sense to me.
All right, and then but I didn't want to talk about it too much.
Fair. And then we get our appearance of Daniel Faraday, of course. So
yes, yeah, Daniel Faraday, love him.
He's here, love him too. Can't wait to get into that. So, all right, anything else?
No, I think we're good. I think let's roll into episode two.
All right, well, thank you all for being here. I hope you enjoyed watching the beginning of the end. And next time we're back with Confirmed Dead.
See ya.